Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to the Old Testament book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1. Well, if I could use one word to describe the emotional temperature of our nation right now, it would be the word bitter. Few have managed to get through the events of the last few years without becoming bitter in the process. And most Christians I know are dealing with bitterness in some capacity, and we desperately need a word from the Lord to overcome it. The title of the message this evening is Removing Bitterness. In the first part of this message, we looked at the categories of bitterness, and the Bible gives us three. The bitter things that happen to us, the bitter emotions that can grow within us, and the bitter lifestyle that will overwhelm us. Well, in Ruth chapter 1, we're going to see a case study in bitterness. We will observe the sad story of a pleasant person who turned bitter. Then, thank goodness, we will turn the page and we'll meet another woman who courageously overcame bitterness and helped someone that she loved dearly to do the same. So let's read this wonderful little book, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left. Mark that. And she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. We read in these verses about a family, a famine, a failure, and some funerals. The family belonged to a man by the name of Elimelech. He was married to Naomi, and her name means pleasant. When we meet Elimelech, he lives in the city of Bethlehem, a city of promise in a land of promise. The name Bethlehem literally means a house of bread. But verse 1 tells us that there was a famine in the land. And remember, in those days, famine meant economic depression. It meant poverty. It meant hunger. So Elimelech made the decision to relocate his family from Bethlehem to Moab. That's the man's failure. We never read in this passage that Elimelech prayed about this decision. We never read that he got godly counsel before he moved his family. Moab in the Bible is described as God's washpot. It was a wicked and godly place. While Elimelech and his family were there, his two sons married two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. And then the Bible tells us the sad story of three funerals. Elimelech died, and then the two sons died. Three funerals meant three widows, left without children, left without support, left without hope. Now, folks, what we're going to see in this passage is that bitterness is a three-stage process. The first stage of the process is pain. Bitterness begins with pain. A pain that someone else inflicts on me, or a pain that life inflicts on me. Naomi certainly had more than her fair share of pain, didn't she? Her husband died. Her boys died. She's left in a strange land without anyone to comfort her, anyone to care for her, without anyone to provide for her. Her experience is a reminder of all of our experiences in this sin-cursed world. No one is exempt from pain. Job said, "Man that is born of woman is of full days and full of trouble." Can I translate? Life is hard and often painful. Stage one in the process of bitterness is pain. Stage two, I've given the label ponder. Ponder. Naomi responded to the bitter things that happened to her by allowing some bitter thoughts, a bitter pondering, some bitter emotions to grow within her. Many of you know the story. In verses 6 through 18, she hears that there is now bread in the house of bread again, so she decides to return to the promised land. Her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, initially decide to come with her. But she tells them, go back to your homes, go back to your families, even go back to your little g gods. And that tells us a lot about her thought process. It tells us a lot about the condition of her faith. She actually thinks that it would be better for these girls to return to God's washpot, to return to Moab and return to their idolatry, than to go with her to the promised land and hold on to faith in the true and living God. The way Naomi sees it, her God has been so bad to her that their gods can't be any worse than hers. One God is as good as another God in the mind of Naomi. Now Orpah decides to turn back. But Ruth makes a wonderful decision. She decides to go with Naomi. She doesn't want to go back to Moab. She doesn't want to go back to idolatry. So verse 19 talks about their return to Bethlehem. Look at what it says. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" They could not recognize her. And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me not pleasant, call me Mara." The word literally means bitter. "For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Through the words that Naomi speaks, she reveals the condition of her heart, some of the bitter thoughts that had been going through her mind. We learn about the thought process of a bitter person, and I see, first of all, a selective memory. Naomi says, "I went out full." Now tell me, is that true? Did Naomi leave Bethlehem, Judah full? No, they left the land because of a famine. They left because they were empty. You see, things weren't perfect for Naomi even when her husband was alive. There were problems even back then, but somehow she managed to stay pleasant. What I've learned about bitter people is that they have a way of looking at their entire lives through the lens of one negative event that happened to them. They say, "Before this event, I was beautiful. Before this event, I was wealthy. Before this event, I was on the way up. I was happy. And then that thing happened, and everything changed." Now listen to me. Everything didn't change. You changed. You had problems back when your life was pleasant, but the reason you stayed pleasant is back then you gave your problems to the Lord and you had faith in God. Amen. Naomi had a selective memory. I noticed this. She had a pessimistic mindset. She said, "I went out full, but I've come back empty." She's pessimistic. Now, is that true? No. She may not have her husband, she may not have her sons, but she does have someone. She has Ruth. And you know what she's going to learn? That the love of Ruth toward her is worth more than 7 sons. That's what the women of Bethlehem are going to tell her in chapter 4. Folks, bitterness will spring up in our lives when we begin to meditate on our troubles and we minimize our blessings. When we become pessimists. You know, the old hymn says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." But let's be honest, most of us would rather count our problems. For the life of me, I cannot understand how people who are in relatively good health, with roofs over their head, clothes on their backs, and plenty of food to eat, can find so much to complain about as we do. And bitterness causes us to become so laser-focused on the one thing we don't have that we can't see the thousands of blessings that we do have. She had a pessimistic mindset. I noticed this. She also had a blame-shifting mentality. In verse 13, we didn't read it, but Naomi says, "The hand of the Lord is gone out against me." In verse 20, she reiterates some of her bad theology. She says, "The Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. The Lord hath brought me home again empty. The Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." You see what's happening here? Naomi takes a look at the hard things happening in her life and she blames God for it. This is God's fault. Now, in her mind, it's not Elimelech's fault for moving his family from the place of blessing to God's washpot. It's not Mahlon and Chilion's fault. They should have decided, by the way, to move back to Bethlehem after their daddy died. But in Naomi's fault, In Naomi's mind, excuse me, this is all God's fault. The fundamental problem with bitterness is a flaw in our theology, a belief that because of our circumstances, God is against us. Ladies and gentlemen, was God against Naomi? No, he wasn't. You see, if God was against her and if God was against us, we'd know it. He could vaporize us in a moment. God's not against Naomi, he's for her. And as a matter of fact, everything he's been doing in her life has been for her good, but she can't see it yet. You see, folks, if Elimelech doesn't die, if her two boys don't die, Naomi probably stays in Moab for the rest of her life. Now listen, those three men sowed and they reaped. And as hard as it may have seemed, their deaths were for Naomi's good. She thinks her life is over, but there are three more chapters in this book, and life in the house of Boaz is going to be a whole lot better than life in Moab could have ever been. Amen. Listen to me, child of God. No matter what's happening in your life, God is not against you. God is for you. Amen. And if he has allowed some painful, hurtful things into your life, you can be sure that he intends to work those things together for your good. There is another chapter in your life. You haven't read it, but God has. So how about this? When trouble comes into our life, instead of blaming God, why don't we decide to bless God? Why is it the first time anything bad happens in our life, we start blaming God instead of blessing him? Bitter people blame God. Sweet, pleasant, happy people bless God even when things aren't going well. Naomi allowed bitter thoughts and bitter emotions like a root to grow up within her. The third stage of the process is poison. When she gets back to town, people can't even recognize her anymore. That pleasant, happy disposition has been replaced by bitterness. Naomi says, I'm so bitter, don't even call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, call me bitter. I see a woman that bitterness has poisoned her speech. She's negative and cruel, and she's uncaring. The Lord has brought me back empty. I don't even care that Ruth has made the sacrifice to come home with me. I notice it also poisoned her relationships. Now think about this with me. I've often wondered if the reason Orpah turned back was because she didn't want to spend the rest of her life with her bitter mother-in-law. Could that be? It poisoned her faith. She said, girls, go back to your false gods. My God has afflicted me. He is against me. He's testifying against me, so I think I'll testify against him. And we see in Ruth chapter 1 how a pleasant person turns bitter. It starts with pain. And by the way, pain happens to all of us. But it's fueled by faithless, pessimistic, condemning thinking. And it results in poisoned speech, poisoned relationships, and poisoned faith. And may God help us all to never get to the place in our life where we would want anybody to call us Mara, where bitterness would so define our life that someone else would call us Mara. The truth of the matter is that as I'm talking about a bitter person, all of you are thinking about somebody. Somebody you know who's been poisoned by bitterness. And listen to me, somebody may be thinking about you. We see a case study in bitterness. But thank God, as the page turns, we're going to meet another woman. A woman by the name of Ruth. And I want you to think with me. These two women had the same problems, didn't they? They had the same pain, but they made drastically different choices. Naomi turned bitter, but Ruth stayed sweet. And Ruth shows us how we can courageously overcome bitterness in our lives. And we're going to back up a little bit in chapter 1 to learn the secret to Ruth's sweetness. Look at what it says in verse 15. Naomi is talking to Ruth. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. So return thy after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now here's what happened. Orpah made the choice to go back to Moab. And she was encouraged by Naomi to do that. Go back to your gods. My God's been so bad to me. Your God is just as good as my God. Ruth says, I don't care what you say, Naomi. I'm not going back. I'm staying with you. Don't try to stop me. And she specifically mentions her faith in God as a reason for staying with Naomi and making the trip to Bethlehem. She says, Naomi, your God is going to be my God. And the Lord do so to me, if anything but death part thee and me. Folks, that is an expression of faith. It's a declaration of faith. In fact, the word Lord that Ruth uses in verse 19 is the covenant name of God. It's the family name of God. Ruth is literally saying, I can't go home and I can't go back to those gods because I've put my faith in the one true God and I'm not going back. And listen, this is the open secret to overcoming bitterness. It's faith in God. Amen. The antidote to a bitter heart is sweet faith. Now, it's been several weeks ago, but that's what we saw in Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, that's the passage that warns us about the root of bitterness. It says the root of bitterness will spring up in us if we don't look at our troubles through the lens of faith. No matter what happens or no matter what somebody may have done to us, we have to believe that God will turn it around for our good. He will use it to coach us and he will use it to correct us. He will use it to make us more like Christ. And if we will learn to look at our troubles through the lens of faith in God, bitter problems can actually make us better people. But the point of Hebrews 12 is that if we just look at our troubles without faith in God, bitter problems will make us bitter people. Faith is the thing that makes the difference. Ruth had it, Naomi didn't. Now we learn a few things about faith that overcomes bitterness. I see in the first place, it's a faith that trusts. A faith that trusts. Let me ask you, who would leave their home? Who would leave their parents and their people? Who would leave guaranteed provision and support to follow a broke widow who doesn't even know where her next meal is coming from, to a place she's never seen, to a people she doesn't know? Listen, only a woman that has trust in God. In fact, Ruth says, even if God lets us die, even if we don't get anything to eat, I'd rather die in the middle of God's will than I would live outside of it. Folks, that is trusting God, isn't it? And this is the key issue. Faith says, I will trust God even when I can't understand what God is doing. I will trust God even when I can't see where God is leading. I will trust God even when I can't figure out any possible way that he can meet my needs or turn this around for my good. Ruth was willing to follow Naomi, not so much because she trusted Naomi. She was willing to follow Naomi because she trusted Naomi's God. Let me ask you, do you trust God? That's a key question tonight. Do you trust that God has allowed the hard and even the sinful things that have happened to you, not because he's trying to hurt you, but because he's trying to help you? Not because he's against you, but because he's for you. Do you trust tonight that even through the mistreatment of that other person, or even through the lean times in life, God is still for you and working on your behalf? I want you to think for just a moment, if you will. Let's all do this. I want you to think about the circumstance in your life that has you most anxious right now. I want you to think about the person in your life that's making you the most angry right now. Let me ask you, can you trust God to work all of that out in the end? Yes, you can. And Ruth trusted God. Not only did she have a faith that trusted, but she had a faith that acted. Look at Ruth chapter 2. I love this wonderful chapter. Look at verse 1. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. and her half was to lie on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. You see what's happening here? Ruth is acting on the word of God. Somewhere along the line, she had been told about the book of Deuteronomy, where God commanded the wealthy people in the land, the landowners, to allow the poor in the land to follow after their reapers in the time of harvest and to do what was called gleaning. The wealthy were commanded not to plow the corners of their field and not to go through the harvest a second time, but whatever was dropped and whatever was left, they were to leave it for the poor people in the land. It was God's way of caring for the poor. And by the way, I like workfare a whole lot better than I like welfare. Can I get an amen? Amen. Ruth has somehow learned about that scripture. And she decides, I'm not just going to sit around. I'm going to act on God's word. When she does this, she's showing that she believes that God will provide for her and Naomi as she lives by faith and in accordance with the word of God. Now, Naomi could have gone with her. If Naomi was well enough physically to make the journey from Moab to Bethlehem, she was well enough to join Ruth in the fields to glean. Why didn't she? Because here's her mindset. Remember, God's against us. God can't be trusted. God treats us bitterly. So why should we trust him and why should we trust his word? Ruth had the exact opposite mindset. She had a sweet faith in God. She acted like God was telling the truth, that God would meet her needs as she obeyed him. Folks, can I remind you tonight that there is always a relationship between faith and God's word? The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. Amen. And faith acts like God is telling the truth in his word, even when you can't see it. And that's what Ruth did. And because Ruth believed and obeyed the truth from the Bible that she knew to obey, God rewarded her in ways that she could have never imagined. One of my favorite expressions in all the Bible is in this passage. It says, her hap was to light on a certain man's field. You know what that means? It means it just so happened that of all the fields in Bethlehem, Ruth went to glean in the field of a wealthy man named Boaz. And it just so happened that Boaz was kin to her dead husband. And it just so happened that Boaz had already heard of Ruth's faith in God and that he'd been looking for an opportunity to meet her. And if you read the rest of the chapter, Boaz is going to make sure that Ruth and Naomi are well taken care of. He's going to send Ruth home that day with a 50-pound bag of barley. And I have no idea how Ruth carried it. Enough to take care of those two widows for the next several months. Here's a lesson, folks. Don't let bitterness keep you from being in the field of faith when your Boaz shows up. Faith does what God commands us to do while trusting that God will do what only he could do. Let me ask you tonight, are you bitter at a friend or a family member? You say, yes, I am. Let me follow up with this. Have you acted on all of the truth of God's word that pertains to this situation? Have you tried to be a peacemaker? Have you been honest with this person about the way they made you feel? You know, a lot of times we're bitter against people and they don't even know it. Have you expressed to this person a willingness to forgive? And a willingness to restore the relationship? You say, Pastor Jill, it'll never work. I've been down that road before. Hold on a minute. Did you ever stop to think that maybe God could work in the hearts of other people like he can work in yours? And maybe he already has. Maybe he's waiting for you to do what he's commanded you to do, but your Boaz will only meet you in the field. Naomi didn't get to meet Boaz because she didn't step out by faith. If you'll step out by faith, maybe you'll see God's been working on the other end and your Boaz will meet you there. Now look at what happens at the end of chapter 2. I love this. Ruth comes home with this big bag of barley. It says in verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. You see what's happening here? Something's changing in the heart of Naomi. Bitter Naomi starts blessing God. Because of Ruth's faith and God's reward of her faith, she is beginning to trust the word of God again. She says to Ruth, you proved God in the area of gleaning, and God was faithful to provide. Have you ever heard about the law of the kinsman redeemer, Ruth? Let me tell you about it. Folks, something wonderful is happening. God is using the faith of Ruth to melt away the bitterness of Naomi. Maybe the problem tonight isn't that you're bitter. Maybe the problem is you're married to a bitter person. Maybe you have a bitter parent or a bitter friend. You know, it can be easy to let the bitterness of a person who's close to us rub off on us. The only thing worse than one bitter person is two bitter people. Can I tell you this? Faith can rub off too. So keep trusting God. Keep acting on God's word. Refuse to blame God. Decide to bless God. And it may be that God will use your faith like he used the faith of Ruth to spark faith in the bitter person that you love. And God may bring your Naomi back to you because of your faith. Faith that trusts. Faith that acts. I notice this lastly, faith that waits. We won't take the time to read it, but in chapter 3, Naomi has a crazy idea. Her faith in God has returned. She says, Ruth, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the threshing floor tonight and tell Boaz that according to the truth of God's word, you want him to be your kinsman redeemer. Tell him that you want him to marry you. Now, all of this must have seemed crazy to Ruth, but she does exactly what Naomi tells her to do. Again, these ladies are acting on God's word. They're living by faith. Ruth goes down to the threshing floor. She comes softly as Boaz is sleeping. He wakes up. Ruth tells him what's on her heart. Boaz is thrilled about it, but he says, there's a problem. There is actually a man in town who is a nearer kinsman than me. And according to the law, this man must have the right of first refusal. He should get the first right to redeem you and marry you if he'd like to. Boaz tells Ruth, you sit still, and before the day's over, I'll have an answer for you. And that's exactly what Ruth does. At this point, she's done everything she can do. All that's in her power, she's acted on all the scripture she knows to act on. Now she simply has to wait on Boaz and wait on the Lord. Folks, can I remind you tonight that there are some situations and some relationships that only God can fix? It's true. And faith not only trusts God's word, it trusts God's timing. I think it would have been real easy for Ruth to give up here, to say, that's the final straw. I've done everything God wanted me to do. I've trusted him when no one else did. Yet here's another trial. Here's another delay. I just give up. And Ruth could have gotten bitter at the near kinsman or bitter at God, but she didn't. She waited on the Lord. And if you know the story, you know that the near kinsman rejects Ruth. And Boaz marries her. And the story ends with Ruth giving birth to a baby. Now, I love what it says in chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and Naomi took the child. Remember, it's Ruth's child. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. So the story begins in many ways with Naomi's pain, but it ends with Naomi's joy. It began with a famine, but it ended with fullness. It began with funerals, but it ends with a wedding and ends with a birth. And I'm reminded this evening that God knows how to take Maras and make them Naomis again. And God knows how to take bitter people and melt the ice and melt the coldness and melt the dreariness away and give them sweet faith in God again. He does that again through faith. Let me ask you tonight, are you bitter? Would you be honest about that? I think all of us to some degree are struggling with some kind of bitterness. Let me ask you tonight, are you blaming God? Are you counting your problems or are you counting your blessings? Have you learned to trust God with the difficult situations in your life? Are you acting on God's word? Can you honestly say that you've done everything in this situation that God commands for you to do? Are you doing everything you need to do to fix that broken relationship? To forgive that person who hurt you? If you have done all of that, then can I ask you, are you waiting on God tonight? Are you full of faith that God can? Or are you holding on to bitterness because you secretly believe that God won't or God can't? Folks, life can be bitter, but we don't have to be. We can choose to live by faith. And if you're bitter tonight, why don't you let God do for you what he did for Naomi? Let him take Mara and turn her back into a pleasant person. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful story and for the faith of one woman who changed everything in her family. When everyone else who had experienced the pain and problems she had experienced turned to bitterness, she turned to you. And her faith was the very thing that brought the bitter person in her life back to you again. Lord, faith isn't easy. Bitterness is easy. Faith is not easy. Help us tonight to believe and to trust and to act on your word and to wait on your timing. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.